Sorry, my daughter is texting me. Let me just reply and say teaching now so she will cease the texting. All right, the message has been sent. So, hey everyone, happy Christmas season. It is upon us. Jamie's crying. How you doing, Jamie?
She's so spoiled.
It's a happy cry, though. Her tail's wagging. I think she's happy that Danielle walked into the room. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. And this is the period of time, of course, where I'm going through the personal messages that I have received. Whoops, there's another text. Okay, she says. She'll leave me alone now. She understands I'm teaching. This is the period of time where we're going over the personal messages that I have received to be helpful to me. And again, specifically right now, we're in that period of time where the messages that were received came when Laurent and I were together, and the messages were to be helpful to both of us. And I have a link for you. Oops, but that's the wrong link. I was about to give you guys a recording to listen to so you wouldn't have to listen to me. Let me get the right link. There you go. That is the proper link which I've just given you. It's a message that is on reginadonacres.com called Looking Outside for Existence. And what I'm going to do before I begin reading this message is say a prayer. So if you all would join me in the prayer, I would appreciate it. Holy Spirit, a part of me wants to say thank you for transformation of the mind. Thank you for helping me to let go of many false thoughts and many false beliefs so that I have an existence now that is considerably happier than the existence before. But Spirit, to be honest, that is not my deepest prayer, a transformed mind. I know that the transformed mind is helpful, but it isn't the goal. The goal, Holy Spirit, is to know myself, not as the body, not as the mind, not as any vital organs such as the brain or the heart or even the breath, not as thoughts, not as acquired learning, acquired knowledge, to know myself beyond anything temporary, anything that fluctuates, anything that changes, and to know that self fully and completely beyond all doubt and beyond all ability to lose awareness of knowing self. So this is what I ask for. Amen. All right, so we're going to look at this message called Looking Outside for Existence, which was a message given to Laurent and me. I believe this was another one of those messages that came during that week when we were in Boston. And I don't remember it at all, so let's just start reading it and see what it says. The looking outside is less helpful and therefore more hurtful than you realize. If you look back at my last several messages, you will see this is a consistent message that I have been sending you. Out of fear, you want to continue to look outside because anything you found before, everything you think, pointed to the existence. I don't understand this sentence. I haven't a clue if something got lost. We had a virus at one time, and sometimes the sentences, the virus was cleaned out of them, but sometimes I think when the virus was cleaned out of the sentence, something else got lost. Is it clear in that book?
Yeah, it's clear.
Okay, let me look in the book, because something's missing here.
It's right here.
All right, so here we go. If you look back at my last several messages, you will see this is a consistent message that I have been sending you. Out of fear, yes, you want to continue to look outside because anything you found before, everything that you found that you think pointed to the existence of a you, all of it you found there. Yeah, this is much more clear. Okay. Well, what happened was there's some dot, dot, dots in there, and I think the virus got written within the dot, dot, dots. And so when we cleaned out the virus, the dot, dot, dots were taken out, and that just changed everything. It's like, what the heck is this sentence saying? All right, so let me go over this again because it's very clear. So again, the looking outside is less helpful and therefore more hurtful than you realize. If you look back at my last several messages, you will see this is a consistent message that I have been sending you. Out of fear, you want to continue to look outside because anything you found before, dot, 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 everything that you found that you think pointed to the existence of a you, dot, 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 all of it you found there. Since this has been the primary place of your finding in your perception, you want to keep looking there. But I tell you, this isn't what is most helpful. And here is why it isn't helpful. So again, we're going to go into this message in just a second, and we're going to find out the why of it. But what Holy Spirit is telling us is that in the past, we validated our existence. We could say our I matter, right? We validated our existence, or we validated our I matter based on something outside of us. You know, maybe the feedback of parents initially, the feedback of caretakers, the feedback of teachers, the feedback of friends, you know, other people's reactions, we could say good or bad, still validated a me, right? So we literally found our existence by looking outside for validation that in one way or another, I matter. And Spirit is saying that this is hurtful. This is not helpful at all. And now we're going to find out why. The world of outside is the world of change, the world of dream, the world of not so. It is affected by energies that seem to come and go as they pass through one mind that seems to be many. When these energies are seen as meaningless, because they are seen through to the truth of what they are, there is a constancy that can be seen everywhere. But when the energies have not yet been seen as meaningless, all that can be seen by looking outside is change. And so again, basically Spirit is saying that there isn't anything that you can count on out there to provide a consistent message, in this case probably a consistent message of identity, to you. You know, one moment, of course, you may get very positive feedback, let's say, from your boss. Your boss may tell you, you're a very hard worker, what you did really mattered, what you did really helped a lot of people, and you may feel very good about that. Now this self-identity that you have right now is that of a good worker, of someone that mattered. But on another day, your boss may tell you that you've just made a grave error, that some kind of problem has been created because of your lack of attention. And now, if you're putting your identity out there, now that self-identity has changed, now you're no longer this wonderful person that matters. You're this existence that's in the way, this existence that's created problems. Still an existence, which ego likes. But your emotional experience is one of up and down. Your emotional experience is not one of consistent joy. And in fact, you will never find consistent joy by looking outside for validation that you matter or that you exist. You're always going to receive messages that change. Holy Spirit continues in the third paragraph. If you look to change and hope to see yourself there, you cannot be but disappointed. You know that what you are is constant. Now, this is an intuitive knowing. This may not be an intellectual knowing, but this is an intuitive knowledge that we have about ourselves. He says, you know that what you are is constant. And so you cannot find it in that which changes. Therefore, as long as you look outside of you for you, you shall always maintain a feeling of being lost. Jamie thinks this is so depressing. She's crying right now. It's a sad, sad message, isn't it, Jamie? So Spirit is talking to a particular state of mind that some people may have experienced at one time. Some people may not really be able to identify with this state of mind. Others may know it well. But it's a state of mind that could best be called not knowing who you are. But it's not the not knowing who you are that brings you to awakening. So that's why I hesitated so much before saying those words. Because as we let go of any false identities and we do not know who we are available for awakening. And that's a very positive not knowing of who you are. This not knowing of who you are is not as positive. This not knowing of who you are is still looking for an ego identification. You know, it wants to be someone. It wants to be a people in a world of peoples. It wants to stand out in some way or have some special talent or, you know, be the one that can be counted on always or, you know, what's wrong, my love? Oh, are you hungry? She would like to eat. Okay, Donna's going to feed you. She's not crying over this sad message. Go with Donna. Donna will feed you. She says, it's supper time and you're just sitting there talking. But this is a state of mind that is looking for an ego identification, which is why it's a little bit sad. It's looking for an ego identification, and not only that, but it is fully looking outside of itself for that ego identification. It's looking in the eyes and the reactions of others, saying, tell me who I am. And those messages are always, always changing. So it feels very, very lost. Again, Holy Spirit says, if you look to change and hope to see yourself there, you cannot be but disappointed. You know that what you are is constant, and so you cannot find it in that which changes. Therefore, as long as you look outside of you for you, you shall always maintain a feeling of being lost or of not mattering. Being nobody in a world of somebodies. Holy Spirit says it is important to let the outside go. And this, as you know, begins with your willingness. Notice first how much you want to find yourself in the outside. You know, last night we talked a lot about denial. And one of the things we talked about is one thing that has to happen is you have to find that which is in denial and bring it out of denial. And this is really the stage, the process that Holy Spirit is taking this mind through now, this mind that is lost because it can't define its ego self, because it's looking outside of itself to define itself, right? He says, step one. Notice first how much you want to find yourself in the outside. Even more than you see it now, be willing to notice every detail of this searching. So what he wants you to do, if you have this state of mind, is he wants you to start noticing the thoughts in your mind that are looking eagerly at other faces, searching for their ideas of who you are, so that maybe you can grab onto them and say, yes, that's me. He wants you to notice when you are looking at your boss, or your parents, or your friends. And he wants you to notice how hard you are trying to get them to define you for you. And he just wants you to notice it. He wants you to see that this is true, that this is why you feel lost, is because you are seeking an ego identity in the words and reactions of others. Again, he says, it is important to let the outside go, and this, as you know, begins with your willingness. Notice first how much you want to find yourself in the outside, even more than you see it now, because he's acknowledging that the person he's speaking to already knows this somewhat, but he doesn't want you to say, I know, I know. He wants you to notice even more. Pay attention, he says. Even more than you see it now, be willing to notice every detail of this searching. You are not doing this to judge yourself or find yourself as wrong. He's aware of a tendency in this type of mind that when it looks out there and it starts noticing the details of how much it is trying to find itself in the words and reactions of others, he knows that it has a tendency to say, I'm bad because I do this. I'm bad because I'm trying to find myself in what others say about me. And Spirit says, that's not the purpose of this exercise. You are not doing this to judge yourself or to find yourself as wrong. You are doing this, rather, to become more aware of the effort you put into finding yourself in one place you cannot be, in a dream, in a place of unreality. When you see clearly, and most especially with a laugh, that you have been looking where you are not to find where you are, you will be more ready, more strongly willing to turn only inside, which is a better symbol for the place that is where you are. So, Spirit is talking to someone here who did feel that when he went inside, he didn't really find Spirit there. He didn't really find anything there. Going inside at this time was frustrating. Maybe he even felt that he wasn't good enough to have Spirit in him. And to a certain degree, this is a part of why he was with me, because he wanted very much to hear Spirit's words, to know Spirit's guidance, and he did not feel that he could find it in him, and so he wanted to be with a scribe, with someone like me, so that he could hear Spirit through me. But of course, what he really wanted was to know it in him. But what Spirit is telling him is the real reason that he seems to go within and find nothing there is because his real effort is actually still in a looking out. His real effort is still actually focused on looking out at what the parents say or think about me, looking out at what the friends say or think about me, looking out. And as long as he has more effort put into the looking out for who I am process, there's going to appear to be a nothing inside. And so what he needs to do first is give up the looking out. And Spirit is telling him one thing that's going to help him give up the looking out is by honestly and without judgment noticing just how much looking out he's doing. When he sees how much energy he puts into looking out in order to try and define himself, he'll realize why he doesn't find anything in. He doesn't really even expect to find anything in. And when he abandons this looking out, when he's no longer asking others with his eyes, how do you see me? Who am I? Well, then he will be more ready to go within and begin to look within and ask that question. Now, Lord Blue, I notice you have your hand up, so I would love to know what you have for me. This thing about outside versus inside sounds a little bit like duality to me. Could you define inside and outside in a rather non-dualistic way? No, I cannot. And I'll tell you why. Because outside versus inside is dualistic. But whenever spirit helps us, spirit has to start with where we are. Again, right now we're talking about a particular state of mind that feels very, very lost and is suffering from its lostness. And the primary cause of its lostness right now, this sense of lostness that it has, is looking outward, away from the sense of self, which is the body in this case. Away from the sense of self, outward at others, saying, "Tell me who I am." And so the first thing spirit needs to address is that mistake that is being repeated over and over. Now, this is a person who feels they are a person. This is a person who thinks, "I am this body and you are that body." And so rather than correcting all of that right now, spirit is working within that dualistic point of view. I guide the attention that is asking, "Who am I?" to guide the attention from outside towards the projection to inside. Now, inside in this case would be away from the projection. And away from the projection is also towards the formlessness. But the symbols of outside and inside are definitely being used because of the belief, "I am a body," being very much in place here. And it's very helpful symbols, but I agree that it is dualistic. But sometimes that's the teaching is just in that realm, but the teaching is pointing away from that realm. But sometimes it is still there with those symbols. I mean, even A Course in Miracles, when it talks so much about your brothers, right? It's in the realm of duality. So that's just the way the teachings sometimes happen. I hope that answers your question. Yeah, thank you. All right, so that's the end of that particular message, looking outside for existence. And would somebody please answer Clara in typing? Let her know that you can hear me. I think you can. So she'll know, "Hey, Jamie." So she'll know she needs to maybe log out and log in. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Barbara. Hey, Jamie. Jamie's happy now because she got to eat, aren't you? That's a very happy thing. Yes. All right. So what I'm going to do now is... Okay, enough celebrating the food. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is take you to another message. It's quite long, and I'm going to apologize for that in advance. Because tonight is my last Sunday night until, Christmas, assuming I teach on Christmas, would be my next Sunday night. Laurent is going to step in and teach a couple Sunday nights for me, so I might be able to end in a place where I can say, "I was at this place in the message, Laurent, and why don't you finish it for me?" But I don't think I'm going to be able to finish it unless it goes much faster than I imagine. And I apologize in advance for that. But I also trust whatever happens in the next half hour. So, if you are in the message called Looking Outside for Existence, if you just go to the top of that message on the right, you'll see a little link for the fear of not existing. Please click on that. And for those of you who are not in that message, I'm just going to give you a new link right now. This new link will take you to the fear of not existing, which I'm sure goes hand in hand with the message we just looked at. All right, so I had a question, or Laurent had a question, someone had a question, we had a question, and here is the question. Holy Spirit, I am getting in touch with a fear of not existing, which feels a little different than fear of death. Now, it's very possible, I don't know this for a fact, but it's very possible that this getting in touch with the fear of not existing came into place by noticing how much the seeking of who am I was going out. You know, just how much The looking to others was happening to tell me who I am. And there may have been a fear that showed up about stopping that habit, that somehow that I would be left in kind of no man's land, not mattering, not existing, not counting, because I'm not noticed. So it's very possible that as Laurent was practicing this practice suggested on March 28th, that that's what led to this question on April 1st. So, Holy Spirit, I am getting in touch with a fear of not existing, which feels a little different than fear of death. Fear of death to me is fear of existence ending. This fear seems different. It seems to be fear of not existing now, and it seems to be deeply tied to the eyes of others. Is there anything you would share on this fear of not existing? What do you think of this, Danielle? I think God loves you. Danielle and I were having a conversation about this, 5 minutes before the teaching? Yeah, sometimes your answers come very quickly when you have a question. All right, here we go. Answer. Looking to metaphysics and education or intellect for the answer to all of your questions is not helpful. It is not helpful because metaphysics is not truth. Metaphysics is the expression of ideas in form. And any expression of ideas in form, no matter how helpful they may be, is not truth. As I have told you before, there is no truth in the world. By this I mean that anything expressed in form is at best only an echo or a reflection of truth. But it is not truth itself. So I think this first paragraph was just addressing an expectation in Laurent's mind, an expectation that Holy Spirit could come forth with some intellectual talking formula that explained this fear of not existing and how it was a ridiculous fear, and showing something over here with charts that you definitely exist. And Spirit's just addressing that expectation, saying that's not going to happen here. The intellect is not the answer. Understanding your fear of not existing is not the answer. Holy Spirit continues, truth itself is found in the formless. Here you go, Lord Blue. Truth itself is found in the formless. And although you will attempt to bring it back into form as words and ideas in order to share it, the words and ideas are only an expression of it and not it itself. The fear of not existing is the fear of death, except that the fear of death is a projection of a current fear into the future. When you are in touch with the fear of not existing, you are realizing this is a current fear in the mind now. To project it as the possibility of death is a form of not recognizing the strength of this fear now. So again, anyone who has the fear of death is really just projecting out into the future the fear of not existing. But some people are able to get in touch with that fear of not existing right now, that fear of, if you don't like me, if you don't acknowledge me, somehow right now I don't exist. It might also be called I don't matter. But it's the same thing. Spirit says, as we have discussed, this fear drives you much more than you know. There are many many ways that you try to prove your existence to yourself in the eyes of others, because seeing it there tells you that you do exist. The problem with this is that it is also projection. You have not truly gotten in touch with your existence by seeing it in the eyes of others. You have only covered up your fear by telling yourself that proof of your existence resides out there. Now again, we cannot ever know ourself through projection, through out there. Through out there. So if somebody tells me, you know, that somehow I matter, I said something that was meaningful to them, something that was helpful to them, and I take that as my identity, this is who I am this person that is helpful. Since that was only a temporary comment in time, and it is going to pass away like everything in time does, then any sense of identity that I attach to having received that reaction also must pass away. And so it fades, the sense of identity that I got from that compliment fades, and I go out searching again. You know, it sounds a lot like an addiction, doesn't it? You know, just like if I was searching for my next drink, searching for my next chocolate bar. So again, you have not truly gotten in touch with your existence by seeing it in the eyes of others. You have only temporarily covered up your fear by telling yourself that proof of your existence resides out there. The only way to overcome your fear of not existing is to know thyself, with a capital S. As long as you do not know you, you will continue to fear that you do not exist. You get in touch with you as you are by being willing to move from the form to the formless. For truth can only be found in the place where form is not. So this is what Lord Blue was looking for in the previous message, and the previous message clearly was only a stepping stone to this message. So again, in the previous message, by Spirit guiding that we do not look outside for a sense of who we are, that instead we turn our attention inside. Spirit was turning us from the projection, which is form, to the formless. And Spirit says it's only by recognizing the formless as what I am that I can know myself. Now the funny thing about the formless being what I am is that the formless has no quality to it, like I am the helpful person, or no quality to it even like I am the bad guy, right? And so if we're still addicted to looking to some quality to define us, well then, in contrast, you could say the formlessness of our reality may feel like nothing. It may feel like nothing is there. It may even feel like somehow non-existence itself, because it doesn't have a quality, and we have decided that some quality means existence. So two things need to happen here. The idea that quality means existence needs to be corrected, needs to be let go. And this is what the first message was beginning to address by saying, notice how much you're looking for it. Notice that it always changes, right? But somehow we need to be willing to become what I'm going to call subtle enough to notice the quality-less existence that we are. And when we know the quality less existence that we are, well, then we know ourself. And then the fear of non-existence ends. And it doesn't matter whether in that moment I'm the good girl or the bad girl. It's irrelevant. Because the quality is not the identity. The quality is not the proof that I matter or the proof that I exist. I know myself as that which exists. Right? That formlessness that is. So, Holy Spirit continues in the next paragraph. To get in touch with the formless, start now. Turn your eyes inward. You may turn it on your breath if you want, but you must also realize that breath is still form. Now again, Holy Spirit is talking to someone here who really does not know how to turn inward. When any attempts have been made to turn in this direction, the mind has just said there's nothing there. And of course, probably the primary reason the mind has said there's nothing there is because the mind was looking for some quality, some form, and just like it was searching for outside in the eyes of others. And so knowing that this person that is being spoken to here is still trying to find something harder than nothing to hold on to, Spirit gives the breath. The breath is training wheels, again, still moving towards the formless, not there yet. But it's just not helpful to point this person in the direction of something they can't yet sense, something they aren't intuiting, something that they just say there's nothing there, and they don't recognize the nothing there that they're looking at is exactly what they're supposed to be looking at. So Spirit gives the breath. To get in touch with the formless, start now. Turn your eyes inward. You may turn it on your breath if you want, but you must also realize that breath is still form. So this is training wheels. When you are in touch with your breath, you are not in touch with the formlessness that you are, but you are turning in the right direction, and that is a start. When you are in touch with your breath, and you have relaxed with that, be willing to go in deeper. Deeper to where there is no form. The thinking mind is a distraction from the formless because the thinking mind is pure expression of form. But the thinking mind need not be seen as a block to formlessness. Anything seen as a block shall be experienced as a block. And the experience of a block will keep you from going where you want to go. All right, so again, another thing that he is addressing, another experience that Laurent had, was a very, very, very busy mind. The idea of a still mind, it just didn't seem possible. A very, very, very busy mind. He had a word for it. I can't remember. I wish I could remember because it was such a good word. It really gave the image of how busy the mind was. But Spirit, real, and it wasn't monkey mind. It was his own little made-up word, but it was a very cool word. If I think of it later, I'll say it. But Spirit is acknowledging this experience of Laurent's. And he's telling him that the busy mind that just won't seem to be quiet when he's attempting this practice of watching his breath does not need to be seen as a block. In fact, seeing it as a block will just cause you to say, "Ah, oh, I can't do this." You know, every time I try the mind, every time I try the mind, right? It's gonna lead to quitting is what's gonna happen. And you never get there through quitting. I'm sure our teachers taught us that in elementary school. So spirit wants to address this perception that the mind is a block, that the mind is a problem, that the mind is never going to get out of the way and allow this to happen. And so spirit continues. See the thinking mind as helpful, as a tool, as a friend. Trust it to coach you into the formless, which truly is beyond all form. Let go of the idea that you cannot experience formless and form simultaneously. And by the way, I used to have that belief, but I actually know for a fact that that is not true. I know for a fact that we are always experiencing the formless, which is kind of funny. We're always experiencing it. So we constantly experience the formless and the form simultaneously. So again, let go of the idea that you cannot experience formless and form simultaneously. Oh, here's what Spirit says. You do this all of the time. For at some level, you always experience you. Remember the example of dust on furniture. That was a previous message. The thoughts or form is the dust. It need not be wiped away to experience the furniture, because the furniture is much more solid than the dust. You can experience the furniture while also touching the dust, but the focus must not be on the dust, because that will be upsetting to you, and you will not notice the furniture. Again, all of that was referring to a previous message, a previous symbol that basically says, just because you have dusty furniture, no matter how dusty it is, it doesn't mean that you can't see the furniture. And the dust is the thoughts, the thinking, and the furniture is the formless self. So it's always present. It's always available to be noticed, even if the mind is busy. And I think the word that Laurent used to use was shooting. He referred to his mind as shooting thoughts all the time, shooting, and I imagine like this machine gun shooting thoughts, where it seemed like there was no break between the thoughts. Hello, oh, I'm getting a kiss in the mouth. Oh, wow, wonderful, a French kiss from a black lab. That was really nice.
I got one too.
You got one too. Oh, so you're not, what's the word when you only kiss one person like that? Monogamous. You're not monogamous, huh, Jamie? All right, here we go. So again, Holy Spirit is saying the thinking mind does not need to be seen as a block. In fact, what you can do is use the thinking mind to help you into the formless. And there are so many ways to do this. Now, I personally never practiced watching the breath. Never did that. But if I had, I probably, just my style of using the mind, would have done something like this. Okay, I'm focusing on the breath now. Inhale. Exhale. I'm relaxing into the breath now. Inhale. Exhale. And, you know, who knows what might have come next. But you notice how that the mind is being used. I mean, there's active sentences in the mind, active thoughts, but they're being used to keep the focus on the breath. And any of us can do this. Any of us can do this. And if the mind is actively being used, if I'm keeping it busy, focusing on the breath, then it can't be talking about whatever the heck it would have been talking about if I hadn't been keeping it busy. So instead of the mind kind of being busy on its own, it's me keeping the mind busy. Yeah, the mind is being disciplined to focus on one thing. So, Spirit is saying, do not see the mind as a block. See the mind as a helpmate. Use the mind to maintain the focus on the breath, if that's the practice that you're going to use as the practice of watching the breath. Spirit continues, let the thinking mind help you by letting it calm you down. Let it remind you of your purpose. Let it be used to place your focus on the furniture. Then, even while it continues with its helpful thoughts, which are form, set your heart and your mind on the formless, which is the furniture. And again, I never used the practice of breath, but there was something that I used. I had an experience in, I'm going to say December of 2006, but I could be off by a year. I do remember it was the month of December of some year. I had a sudden experience of my heart opening. I'd never known my heart to be open before. Someone called it the heart chakra opening, but that wasn't a language I was at all familiar with. But my heart suddenly opened, and the description that I used was like I could feel light, feelings of light in the heart. And I could feel that light extending underneath both armpits, going up into the throat, and the mouth, the top of the head. And so because I had that, which is still form, by the way, right? I can observe it, I can focus on it. I used that instead of breath. I used sitting in the chair, focusing in the area of, I guess, the heart chakra, in the middle of the chest for me, allowing that opening to occur, and then focusing on that opening. And that's what allowed me to move into a stillness. But that was still focusing on form. So you see, form, whether it's using the mind and self-talk, whether it's focusing on the breath, whether it's focusing on an open heart chakra, or whether it's focusing on, I've heard some people focus on a tingling in the, I guess it's called the crown chakra. See how smart I'm getting with all these spiritual words? Oh, and Eckhart Tolle with the inner body, right? Yeah, that's what you used.
I can feel it right now. I love it.
All of these things are form. So let's not be prejudiced against form.
Helpful.
It's helpful. Let's find the form that is helping us to move away from form and into the formlessness. Spirit continues, the formless cannot be described, but it can be known. It cannot be brought back into form. In other words, you cannot give it a quality, right? But it can be expressed. The real value in touching the formless is not sharing it. That is, the value is not sharing it at the level of form, telling people, hey, I did it! I did it! I touched the formless! I know what the hell everyone's talking about! Yeah. That's not the value. The real value is knowing it. When you know the formless that you are, you can no longer be shaken by changing form. You cannot be bothered by that which you are not. You can experience the untrue, and you can move in it as an expression of truth. But none of that takes away from or adds to what you are. When what you are is known, nothing else truly matters. And when what you are is known, you live in the world as an expression of light, which is communication of an idea of self. But it lives the experience of know thyself. Now hold on. this, oh yeah, I skipped a line. That's why that didn't make sense. Let me start over. And when what you are is known, you live in the world as an expression of light, which is communication of an idea of formless within form. So you represent that formlessness by your non-reaction, non-attachment, your consistent peace, your consistent love. You are a living communication of the idea of formlessness in form. This communication cannot give the experience of know thyself, but it lives the experience of know thyself, so that the possibility of know thyself is known, even within the expression of form. So what Spirit is saying here is that one person living as an expression of our formlessness does not give itself to another person, but it does demonstrate that truth which can be recognized by another person because it's the truth of their self. And then they can experience it and know it and live it also. So in that way, it can spread. So this communication cannot give the experience of know thyself, but it lives the experience of know thyself, so that the possibility of know thyself is known, even within the expression of form. This wakes up the mind to itself by shining into where mind is looking, even though mind can never truly find itself there. So again, you, the person this message is talking to, started off as somebody looking outside of you for proof that you exist, proof that you matter, right? And you were never finding it. And through being willing to notice how much you were looking outside of yourself to try and determine who you were, you began to realize that you were really, really afraid of not getting some type of external definition of self. But as you trusted Spirit's words and you began to let go of looking outside of yourself for a definition of who you were, looking outside of yourself for proof that you matter, looking outside of yourself to see if you're good or bad in this moment, by giving all of that up and trying and starting to go within, well, at first there was a struggle. Because again, you were still in the habit of looking for quality, and what you're really looking for within is qualityless. And so Spirit gave you tools like breath, tools like self-talk, inner body, opened heart chakras or crown chakras, these tools of form to focus on. And as you spent time just focusing on these tools of form, you somehow miraculously began to let go of the habit of looking for a quality of who you were. And as you began to let go of the quality, you then began to notice the qualityless as that which you are. And now you are no longer tossed about like a house built on a foundation of sand by other people's opinions of you. You know that which you are, and you know it has no quality, therefore it's not this quality or that quality, and you are consistent in it. You are that. And now as you walk about as that, there are still others who are looking outside saying, who am I? Who am I? They have your old habit. But some of them might accidentally look at you. And when they say, who am I? And they see you, they may begin to recognize their own qualityless self, because you are being that. And that is enough for tonight. So I will be back on Sunday night Christmas night, as far as I know. I will also be here Wednesday morning just before I take off to India. So if you want to come and say bon voyage, be here at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern time on Monday. And now I'm going to go see why my dog's been crying for an hour. All right, bye.